And welcome to 2021. As I mentioned, how magnanimous of me to welcome people to 2021. Like I've got some kind of ownership over the year. What's cracking? Welcome to the show. It is my first year, or my first show back, so it's great to be here. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience, a wild NFL weekend, and we're looking ahead to the wild card weekend as well. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I've got a phone line open. This number is good in the U.S., 1-800-636-8686. Also in Canada, use it. As promised, we start hour number three by having a conversation with an NFL insider for The Athletic, co-host of the GM Shuffle podcast. He is also an author. He is a three-time Super Bowl winner. He is Michael Lombardi. Michael, Happy New Year. Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Happy New Year to you, too. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you. Great to have you, Michael. So, last time you were on, we talked about Greg Williams calling that blitz on the final play against the Raiders. Last night, Michael, Doug Peterson inserts former third stringer Nate Sudfeld into a one-score game. Before we get into that, what do you make of how Peterson handled the clock at the end of the first half?
You read my mind, Jim.
Good.
I mean, you read my mind. I mean, I don't understand. Of course, it never got brought up on the on television, but you know, when you get the ball with under 2 minutes to go in the half, and you know your opponent has the ball to start the second half, you have to somehow control the middle eight. And controlling the middle eight is a little bit like chess. Whoever has the white pieces in chess usually wins. Whoever controls the middle eight usually wins. And if you kick off to start the game, that means you've given your opponent the white pieces. And the middle eight allows you to get them back. And so Doug gets the ball with under 2 minutes to go. He knows Washington has three timeouts left. He chooses to throw three consecutive passes starting at 1:52 to go in the half. And in 15 seconds later, he's punting the ball back to Washington with three timeouts in their arsenal, with the ability to score, and also with the ability to get the ball to start the second half. So he's completely done it. But this is typical of what they've always done in Philadelphia. Under Doug Peterson, including the year they won the Super Bowl where they overcame it, is they have no regard to play complementary football or pay attention to the details that ultimately give your team a chance to win.
We're talking to Michael Lombardi. So, Michael, I would ask you your reaction when you saw Sudfeld enter the game, but take me back even further. What went through your mind when you saw Philadelphia had activated him last week? What did that tell you about what Peterson was looking to do?
I said it on my show, The Lombardi Line on VSiN. I said it Sunday morning. When they activated Sudfeld, I knew he was going to put him in the game for two reasons. One, he was worried about Jalen Hurts getting hit because he couldn't protect because his offensive line was so beat up. And two, he wasn't going to put Wentz in that situation because he was going to forfeit the game in the second half. I was surprised he played Hurts as long as he did. I knew they'd rather have the sixth pick in the draft than the ninth because that's how they think in Philadelphia. That's why they go for it so much on fourth down. Like, I don't know why we're getting upset about them wanting the draft pick when they've showed us who they are through the whole time. I mean, anybody with any common sense that goes for it as much as Philadelphia does but ranks 25th in the league in fourth down conversions, you would probably say to yourself, maybe we shouldn't go for it as much as we do. But yet they continue to do it. So
Michael,
they're all driven by analytics, which is fine, which is wonderful, but the reality of it is sometimes you got to pay attention to what the numbers are.
We're talking to Michael Lombardi. You know, Michael, to your point, obviously the sixth pick is much better than the ninth pick, but what do you make of Peterson's explanation for getting Sudfeld into the game? Because, quote, he had been around for 4 years and he deserved the snaps.
Well, you know, when my kids went to school in California at the Catholic school, and they played Little League. Everybody had to play in Little League. The NFL isn't Little League. Like, nobody, not everybody has to play. Sudfeld gets paid a salary whether he gets to play or not. Like, I'm not trying to make everybody happy. I'm trying to win games, you know? I mean, the reality of the situation is that's one of the worst excuses I could have ever heard. Like, is he running a party? Is he running a Little League baseball team that he wants to put the kid out in right field so he gets some reps? Like, it makes no sense to me why you would do it. What makes no sense is why the networks put that game on at the end of the year. We knew they had nothing to play for in Philly. We knew it. Poor Al Michaels had to fly all the way across the country. He missed dinner at Toscano's to watch that.
That's funny. He loves Toscano's too. And yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I said myself watching that game, Michael, I can only imagine what Al said when he took the headphones off and that thing was over. But like, what about this point? The point that you make, I'm curious, what's that do to the dynamic in the locker room? When you see Eagle players out there and they're trying to win and then Sudfeld goes into the game, what kind of a damage might that do inside the locker room? Like, is that something that just goes away or does that stay with guys? Do they remember that?
Oh, I think they remember it, and I think they feel like somebody's pulling Doug's strings. Now, he went out of his way to say that it was his decision, but does it look like his decision? You know, does it really look like that's what he wanted to do? Or was somebody telling him what to do? You know, he went out of his way to say it was strictly his. He fell on the sword, but of course he knows he's coming back, so it was easier to fall on the sword. But the reality of it is I have no problem if the Eagles would have been honest up front and started stuff up in the beginning of the game. If that's what they wanted to do, that's their prerogative. They could have done it. But don't play into this mythology that they were trying to win. Who goes for it on 4th and 5 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter in a game that supposedly matters and you turn down the points? I get John Gruden going for 2 against Denver. It's the end of the year. Both teams are going nowhere. Let's just end it right now. Okay, they won. Denver didn't. I don't get going for it. And then the line of the night, Jim, was when Al Michaels says, when Chris Collinsworth is trying to defend going for it on 4th and 5 from the 5-yard line, Al Michaels says, I'd like to see that math. Because, like, what is that math that tells you to turn down 3 points to tie a game going in the fourth quarter?
Right, right. Show me the placard. Show me that chart which says that's the right thing to do. Michael Lombardi is joining us. Michael, so one more thought about Carson Wentz and then the Eagles, because you've got the reports that he wants out, that the relationship between Wentz and Peterson is beyond repair. Like, what's your reaction to that report, and how do you see that relationship playing out?
I think this damages it even more. I mean, you saw after the game, Jason Kelce and Ertz are all on the field kind of like talking like this is going to be their final goodbye. I mean, obviously, I was wrong in the sense that I thought at the end of the year, Doug Peterson was going to have to explain to Jeff Lurie how he was going to fix Wentz. But now it seems like they're not even trying to fix Wentz. They're going to deal Wentz. That their concern is, at least we get the 6th pick. Maybe we'll pick a quarterback up here. Maybe we'll do something different. I think, to me, Wentz is broken. He's got $40 million of guaranteed money. They're going to have to be very creative in how they do it. Why would he give any money back? And then my question is, everybody thinks he's going to Indy. Why would Chris Ballard, of the GM of the Colts, want to take on their problem?
Do you think he can be fixed?
That's a hard question for me. The year he won the MVP, he was sensational. Now, let's put this in perspective. The year they went to the Super Bowl in 2017, they were the 7th worst team in the National Football League that year in accumulating 3rd and 7s or more. They were in the company of some of the worst offenses in football that year. Now, what they were remarkable at was converting 3rd and 7s at a 50% rate, which was unheard of in the NFL. Unheard of. They were able to do that. And that's how they were able to win. They had this unique ability to make plays at the critical time. And Wentz was responsible for a lot of those plays. I don't know if it'll come back again. He looks like a boxer that's gotten hit too much, and his accuracy is bad, and he just doesn't feel comfortable. He's playing a game that he doesn't seem like he's enjoying playing right now.
Michael Lombardi is joining us. All right, Michael, before I let you go, what about wildcard weekend? You've got the Browns that are back in the postseason. They're going up against Pittsburgh. They'll play them a third time this year. How do you see that game going?
Well, I think this is all about, can the Browns play from in front? I think the Browns are a great team when they can play from in front. When their run game can be the lead, when they have to throw it like they did against the Jets 53 times, that's not Mayfield's game. They've got to play from in front. This first quarter for the Browns is the most critical. They've got to get ahead. Last time they played Pittsburgh, they got the ball to start the game. They threw a pick six to Fitzpatrick. The game was over quickly. Pittsburgh moved the ball down the field, and they got behind, and they can't get back. Cleveland is a good offense, much like Minnesota last year. They have to play from in front. They've got to be able to be balanced. Mayfield's got to throw the ball 30 times or less on bootlegs and nakeds. And I think losing Olivier Vernon really hurts them. They lose an edge rusher. They lose an edge setter. I think that's an injury that the Browns are going to have a hard time overcoming. But they can, if they can play from in front with their run game, they can be a force to beat the Steelers.
We are talking to Michael Lombardi for a few more moments. Michael, I'm really curious what your thoughts are on this. The Bills hammered Miami yesterday, and of course the Dolphins have the third pick in the draft. They've got Tua, but Tua did not have the smoothest season, and now there's speculation about what they might do with that pick. How would you approach it? Like, do you think they've got their quarterback of the future, or do you kick the tires on one of the quarterbacks who's in the draft?
You know, I would take Tua and watch him and see what he's done. Now, I mean, anybody who watches him sees that he doesn't have elite arm strength. He doesn't have elite speed. He doesn't have elite size. And so you're counting on these intangibles. You know, this he has the it factor. Well, you know, doesn't throw the ball down the field. Is that because he's a new player and he's just feeling himself out? He's inexperienced? Or is that just because he doesn't want to throw it down the field? He doesn't trust his arm to get it down the field, or he doesn't see the receivers? And then you've got to compare him to whichever one of these players is coming out in the draft, not counting Lawrence, assuming he does come out, not counting Lawrence. Then I think you make that decision yourself. If you think Fields is significantly better than Tua, you better take him. The question you must answer if you're the Miami Dolphins is, who will be our starting quarterback in 2024, and does he give us a chance to be a Super Bowl winner?
Michael Lombardi joining us. So, Michael, when you see Buffalo dominating Miami's backups, or dominating with their backups, I should say, on the field, how much does that tell you about the attitude and the confidence and the depth of this Bills team?
I thought it was impressive. I thought that they had that swagger. They put a bunch of guys in there. They bought into the culture. You could feel it. They were very comfortable. This is going to be a huge challenge for Indianapolis to go there. I mean, we know the temperature is going to be less than 40 degrees. And Rivers, in his long, long career, has not played to a level in those 17 games he's participated in under 40 degrees at the highest level. This is going to be a game they've got to be able to run the football to beat Buffalo, because Buffalo is playing at such a high level right now. And I love what McDermott did. He played his players. He kept their confidence going as they go into to get preparation for the next game. And I think that was a smart thing to do. They're a deadly team. They're a hard team to play because of what he brings to them. I've never seen a player improve his accuracy like Josh Allen, and he's done it remarkably.
Right. And also, Michael, I had Tremaine Edmonds on earlier in the program, and he throws off the same swagger that you were talking about. I mean, teams always talk about culture and process, but it's so clear that the Bills have that, and they believe. Really quickly, before you go, I want to ask you about something you wrote about recently. A number of teams are looking for GMs, and you had a piece in The Athletic about this case that pairing a GM and a head coach is not nearly as tough as some organizations make it look. What are the keys to having a good GM and coach relationship?
Well, I think the coach has got to really see the big picture. He can't be the play caller and not care what happens on the special teams. He's got to see the big picture. He has to behave like a head coach. And when you get that partnership with a GM, and then you can deliver the players with the plays, find players that fit the scheme like they have in Cleveland. It's perfect. You see it work. Baker Mayfield's not the greatest player in the league, but that scheme fits him perfectly. That's the relationship, and it has to be on a macro level, not a micro level. It's got to be big, and the coach has got to see the game for the whole game. And when you look at Las Vegas, Gruden he only sees the game through the offensive eyes, not as the big picture, which is why some of his draft picks haven't worked out.
You know what, to that point, really quickly, in terms of the Raiders, you also made a really interesting point in another piece when you wrote that when you work for Al Davis, he used to say he is not interested in getting a little better. What did he mean by that? And then how did that inform the way the organization approached everything else?
Well, he felt like if we had a player that was a good player and another guy that was in the draft was just a good player, why would we exchange them? It would cost us time and money to make the guy who's good be just as good as the guy we're letting go. He wanted to reach for greatness. He wanted somebody to come in that was significantly better. So when he's looking at the draft, he would want a guy. You know, he had Mark Wilson on the team. He had Jim Plunkett. He wanted John Elway. That's what he wants. He didn't want Tony Eason. He wanted somebody significantly better than the players he had. That's how he always viewed it, and especially at a marquee position. I mean, that's what he always would want. So for him to trade Derek Carr for someone else, that player better be significantly better than Carr.
He is an NFL insider for The Athletic. He is co-host of the GM Shuffle podcast. He is an author. He is a three-time Super Bowl winner, Michael Lombardi. Michael, appreciate you. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Anytime.
Good job, Michael Lombardi. All right. Your thoughts, your reaction. Speaking of thoughts and reaction, Let me ask you this. You've got, I'm looking at the early lines just because. Oh, and by the way, James Kelly has changed his Twitter handle. He is now officially at Big Head Betts. He is officially at Big Head Betts. Well, man, the only thing missing now is that verified blue check on at Big Head Betts. I'll get him in this week. We'll talk about it. I'm looking at some current lines. Bills minus 7 v. Indy. How you like that? He just made the point that Philip Rivers has not fared too well in 40-degree temperature or less. Browns plus 4 at Pittsburgh. And also made the point that the Browns are really effective when they can play from ahead. That you don't want to get caught early on trailing. Play from ahead. Move the sticks, run the football, that Baker Mayfield's a lot more effective, and they're more effective when he's throwing the ball 30 times as opposed to 55 times. I agree with that. What about the situation in Miami? Do they have their quarterback of the future in Tua, or should they look at another quarterback? Should Philadelphia think about taking a quarterback at number 6? All good topics. And then you've got Trevor Lawrence. Is he done? And if he's done, how did he go out? I will get to that. It is a new year. There are a lot of interesting things to end the year on that I want to reset. Sark gets the head coaching job at Texas. Is he really that much of an upgrade over Tom Herman? I'm not saying Tom Herman was killing it. He wasn't. But is Sark that much of an upgrade? Enough of an upgrade that you'd pay $24-25 million to make Tom Herman and his staff go away and then pay whatever it costs to hire Sark? Pat Forty made the point. That's a $40 or $50 million decision. How much money would you have to light on fire to make Herman go away and replace him with Sark, who's anything but a lock? Looking at some of the other early lines, Tampa is minus 8 at Washington. That's interesting. Baltimore, minus 3.5 at the Titans. Another interesting matchup. Who do you like? How are you approaching all that? Take a short time out. Let's get some phone calls in here. And I've given you good interviews. I've given you good takes. Now I'm going to let you take part. 1-800-636-8686. You are in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Happy New Year. Your phone calls are coming up next.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Once you get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. You want to call, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. Call or click Grainger.com. I think I'm going to check in with the other side of the glass, see what's up. I'm talking about you, Adam Hawk. Go ahead, throw those things on right quick. You and I have not touched base in the new year. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I am excellent as well. So how was the break for you?
It was a wonderful break.
Slow down, dude. What'd you get into?
I went out to the desert, La Quinta to be specific. The desert is often referred to as Palm Springs. However, Palm Springs is just one of 6 towns out in the desert. So we were in La Quinta, close to Palm Springs, same desert, and had a really good time out there.
Wow, dude, too much information.
Sorry.
I didn't need a whole breakdown geographically of the desert, but thank you very much for that. All right, so how are you approaching the new year? You always come in with new thoughts, new approach. Where is your head at?
Well, I would say that the new year starts today. You can't start the new year on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's just heinous. So for me and every other normal person, the new year starts today, Jan 4, the 3 days before we're awash, a time to send it. So I'm approaching it. I'm going back on keto. I'm doing dryuary, and I'm going to try to log one activity of at least 1 mile every single day on my Strava app, because I'm just going to go balls to the wall this year.
1 mile a day is not exactly balls to the wall, brother.
Correct. It is not. At least 1 mile a day. So, like, if you're...
Weren't you riding your bike like 40 miles a day?
And I still will. But I'm saying, like, if there's an off day or whatever, I'm just going to go put an activity on there. I'm going to walk around the block for a mile. I know it doesn't sound like much, but what I mean to say is that's the lowest entry levels at
least. So something every day.
Something every day.
Well,
yes.
So there was something else. Now, I seem to remember you and I having a brief conversation. Is there not some other things that you were looking to improve upon?
Actually, I'm going to stop swearing this year.
Why?
Because I just...
I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but what motivated that?
Well, first, I think that it's a tough thing to do. If you've been speaking one way for 20 years and it just flies out of your mouth a certain way, which it does for me, I think it would be kind of a mental challenge to try to stop swearing. And I swear a lot in front of my kids, and I don't want to be that guy.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. And I'm not swearing at them. I just say a lot of swear words around them. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want my kids hearing those kind of words from me. And so, you know, they're getting to that age where they start to repeat stuff. And so I just want to see if I can retrain my brain to not swear anymore.
That's interesting. I mean, there's like a lot of things you can work on or improve upon. You know, establish the cuss jar. That's a good way to go, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah, except people don't carry change anymore. In fact, they don't even really carry cash anymore. So the swear jar would have to be like a Venmo jar. Uh-huh. But I'm just going to try to stop swearing. I know it sounds stupid, but that's just one of the things. Yeah.
What else? Anything else besides that? In terms of your self-improvement.
Yeah, I want to do some reading this year. I've become quite illiterate over the years. I've noticed that when
you didn't become illiterate. You are illiterate, dude.
That's true.
Don't you have like an eighth grade education?
Yes. But I just feel like I can't read that well anymore because I just don't read that much
anymore.
Here's
an idea. Why don't you read sports? Why don't you get better at your job?
Well, I want to read stuff I'm interested in.
Hawk. Keep digging, man. Did you just say you want to read something you're interested in? What's that say about your job?
I'm just kidding.
What's that say about your content?
I love this
job. You're not kidding, man. You meant that.
No, I love this job. I love sports.
You know what you should improve upon? You should stop lying to me on the air. That's what you should improve upon. That'd be a great place to start. All right, so I'll let that slide. I shouldn't, but like, what do you want to read then?
I want to read...
Start with Dr. Seuss, man.
Yeah. Picture books, just stuff that's interesting. I want to read nonfiction. I want to read about people that I'm interested in who have led interesting lives, like Hunter S. Thompson, Elliot Smith, people that have led interesting lives that are worthy of biographies. I think that would be cool to learn about them on other sites learn about them through other ways than Wikipedia. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I just read the internet. I don't read books, and I need to start reading books.
That's a good point. They do still have books. All right. Thank you very much, Adam. Let's end this conversation. Something I should have done 5 minutes ago. I had to check in. You know, like we come back after this long break and we all just go right into our mode. And then all of a sudden, most of the show is gone and I need to get caught up with the other side of the glass. Ike, I'm not going to ask you what you got into. I don't care. No, Ike. I don't care, man. Wait, maybe I am interested. Hawk just informed me that Ike hired a personal trainer.
Game on.
When asked why Ritt did that, quote, "I need to lose the gut."
Finally,
Ritt. Finally. How long do we think this is going to last? At least Hawk. Like, Hawk is like this roller coaster, but he's proven that he can get it done. Like, he's committed for periods of time. And then he comes off the rails for periods of time, but then he can commit for periods of time. Ritt, we've never seen that attempt from you before, other than the occasional banana for breakfast to go with your Skittles. This is going to be really interesting. Ritt has a personal trainer. Is this virtual? Are you doing this like... I can't wait to find this out. Alvin, you got anything to add to this? Any major changes in your life? All right, Alvin says nothing. Nothing has changed in his life. He is just steady Eddie. Quote, dude, I can't top that. Ritt's got a personal trainer. Dude, what's next? Eating clean burning fuel. Are you going to eat clean too, Ritt?
Burning.
Again, you can't outwork a horrific diet, Ritt. I'm not saying that hiring a trainer is not a good idea. I'm not saying that it won't help. I'm saying you cannot, even I know this, you cannot outwork the worst diet ever. Let's see some of the reaction. Beaks tweets, smartest thing Hawk has ever contributed. The new year starts today. Cheers all. Yeah, Beaks, you're a fat guy. Of course you didn't want to start on the first. Of course, Beaks, he told you exactly what you wanted to hear. That's the problem with society. It's the problem with life. You're looking for somebody to tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. Of course you love that, from Hawk. He gave you 3 more days to be fat. Wells in the 360 wore Hawk buying a subscription to High Times magazine. That was pretty priceless, Adam. You saying, man, you know what? I want to read something that's not Wikipedia. Jeff in SoCal, quote, stop swearing. F that, Hawk. Jesse in El Paso, quitting swearing is effing lame, Hawk. I don't know, like, I understand you're a father, your kids are getting older. Of course you want to lead from the front. You want to be the leader for your family, right? You want them to be able to look to you. They need to learn from you. Of course you shouldn't swear in front of your kids. I just didn't know that was something, quote, you had to make a point of quitting. You know, you just stop doing it. You quit smoking. You quit drinking. You stop swearing. What is that, like some kind of addiction? Like, man, I just can't stop letting the F-bombs fly in front of my kids. I don't know, man. I don't know. I got to rewire my brain, Hawk. I have to rewire my brain. I can't stop F-bombing the kids. Daniel tweets, Rit needs to hire a dietitian instead of a personal trainer if he wants to lose the gut. Interesting point. I'm not a licensed trainer, but I can help you lose that gut. Close your mouth, Rit. Push away from the table, Rit. That's how you do that. Mix in a salad, Rit, and an apple. How about this? Consume fewer calories than you currently are consuming. Burn more than you consume. Squirrel 2 is in. Hawk is giving up swearing. You tell that son of a witch. I said good luck. Signed, Philip Rivers. Penguin 488 tweets, is Hawk only drying out for January or 30 days? Good question.
Unstinking believable.
All right, so there's the update on the crew. Hawk is going to dry out. He's going to try to read. He's going to try to stop swearing, and he will be in perpetual movement, a minimum of 1 mile every single day, no matter what's going on. And Rit, even more surprisingly, has hired a personal trainer because, quote, I gotta lose the gut. Finally. Even more reaction. At Go39, quote, read sports, dude. I know, right? I said that. I'm gonna read things I'm interested in. No, actually, that was his response to when I said, you want to read? Oh, you're gonna read. One, I didn't know you could. But two, okay, you're going to read sports. Yeah, no. I think I'll just read things that I'm interested in.
What?
Wow. All right, then. When we return, man, that just burned a whole segment. That was not my intent. I mean, I really did just want to touch base with the crew. I just lost an entire segment on the crew. Rit, have you started training yet with this trainer? Today, day one. When we return, one last segment for you on this Monday. Boy, there was a whole lot of info there, right? Like the new year, according to Hawk, does not start on Jan 1. Quote, you still have to send it if January 1st is on a Friday, heading into a weekend, but now you can start your diets. Now you can start your life. Hawk is giving you the green light. Here is your sport. Welcome back. Got more tidbits from the staff during the break. Rit is going to work out. I said, what's going on with that, Rit? Like, a personal trainer. Is he coming to the house? Is she coming to the house? Are you going to meet in the park? He said, no, I got a friend. He's going to meet me in the park. I said, how many days a week? Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Bring it on.
All right, so Ritt is going to start training with somebody. Adam Hawk is on a self-improvement kick. And Alvin's not changing a damn thing. And James Kelly got a new Twitter handle, @BigHeadBets. Time for the ATP. You ask me a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jimmo's. Did you ever want to get an earring in college, but you were afraid of what your old man might think? Brent in PC. No. No, I never wanted to get an earring in college. And it's not because I was afraid of what the old man would think. Actually, I was kind of afraid of what the old man would think when I went on academic probation and I got 3 D's and an F. Actually, you know what? I didn't care what he thought. That was the problem. He didn't like that very much at all. True story. 3 D's and an F. Academic probation. Like, maybe I thought they wouldn't get the report card or something. Oh, they got the report card all right. The old man picked up the phone and called me up in Santa Barbara. Like, the hell are you doing up there? Going to school, Dad. What do you think? Apparently not. Not with 3 D's and an F. The hell are you doing up there? All right. I'm working. What do you mean you're working? You don't need to work. We're paying for your education. Yeah, I'm working at the radio station. How many hours a week? 40. How much are they paying you? Nothing. Are you the stupidest guy ever? Quit. No. Quit. No. Like, this is a real conversation I have with my old man. I'm going to hang up the phone, and you're going to walk over to the radio station, and you're going to quit. And then you get your ass in class, and you're going to go to school, like you're supposed to do in college. I literally said to him, you know what, Dad? No. No, I'm not quitting. I will put myself through school. He goes, good. Good luck with that, click. And dang. So, no, I never wanted to get an earring. I was not afraid of what he thought about that. More concerned about how I'd put myself through school. All right, let's see. Hi, Jim. Do you write down any of your goals? Sure. Not as much as Hawk over there. Hawk's a maniac. Hey, Adam, really quickly. Finish the thought. All right, so last night, instead of doing prep late at night, well, okay, you probably done your prep already, to be fair. You had some personal time for yourself. I could tell something clicked in, man. After you were done, quote, sending it, over the weekend, you got into self-improvement mode. What happened when you went to Instagram last night? Because, by the way, I saw you posting stories not about this, but about everything else. So I know you were on Instagram last night. Excellent. What happened?
Well, Instagram has this algorithm where they plant advertisements in front of you that are based on your internet tendencies and like what you've been looking at on Google and even the phone conversations you've been having. This is no secret. People think it's a conspiracy. It's not. There's a documentary called The Social Dilemma where they lay this out for you.
Yeah.
We are all just dollar signs. They know us better than we know ourselves. They know where we're going to go before we go there. And so since I had been looking at self-improvement stuff because I wanted to have a better year than I had in 2020. They put some...
Well, what happened last year?
Oh, last year was fine, but I just want to get better, you know? And also, I had kind of come off the rails in December, gained back 10 of the 30 pounds I had lost. And so I'm like, oh, I gotta right the ship. So anyway, they put this bullcrap program in front of me called Self Growth. And essentially what it is you pay $30. And what they do is they send you 15-minute...
30 a month? 30 annually?
I got to check that, honestly. I just made the purchase quick. You know, they allow you to use PayPal, so you're not even thinking. You just press one button and you go through.
You don't even know if it's... But what if it's $30 a day,
Oh, Adam? Then I'll cancel it right away.
30 a month's a problem. A real problem, right?
Yeah, well, I don't want to
spend... I know you're not good at math, but think about that. 30 times 12.
Yeah, that's a lot. We'll see. I got to look into it more. But anyway, they planted this ad in front of me, and it's this company that just sends you 15-minute audio excerpts from, like, the greatest motivational books.
I thought you wanted to read.
Well, listening to me is reading, because you can just tell people I read a book, and they'll never know the difference, because you know exactly what was in that book. So, yeah, starting today for the next 28 days, I'll get 15 minutes of a motivational book sent to my phone on Spotify to listen to. And I paid for that last night because Instagram got the better out of me. They absolutely caught me. And
so you started your year with a loss.
Yes.
You lost.
Well,
lost.
We'll see what these books do for me. because now I'm going to read 15 minutes of a book a day by listening to it.
Again, it's not reading, it's listening. All right, so you haven't gotten the first one yet. I'm really curious what the first one's going to be.
Me too. I'm looking at the email right now. It says download your plan. Right. I have not clicked download yet.
I cannot wait to track the price. Look, believe me, dudes, I'm not rooting against you. The better you are, the better I am, the better I am, the better the show is, the better the show is, the better for everybody. I am rooting for you both. I'm very happy to hear that you both want to do better. And Alvin, as far as you saying, oh, no, I'm not doing anything. I'm fine. As I mentioned, Alvin, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're growing or you're falling apart. You can't do nothing, Alvin. You know this. All right, so we'll see. So Adam got hooked by the Instagram algorithms and is subscribing to a service that is going to kick him down 15 minutes of audio from various self-help books. Hey, listen, I'm not saying that I don't read that type of material. I do. And by the way, I don't want to be the biggest hypocrite ever because I've got some thoughts on this. You know when I do these interviews and these podcasts that these are the types of things that interest me. So I'm happy for it, Adam. Hopefully it lasts more than this week. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is the first book. Okay. Again, you need to put it into practice. We'll see. So he says he's reading, but he's getting a 15-minute audio clip every day. So we will track their progress. And Rit, man, you better put up some before and after pics. Do that.
Finally.
You got to do that, finally. And there's nothing wrong with Alvy. Let's go to the phones. Southeastern Wisco. His first appearance of the year 2021 on this show. It is Chris in Southeastern Wisco. Man, I'm happy to see you, Chris. What's up? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Jim, too. I appreciate it. Hey, if possible, I just wanted to touch briefly on the former America's team, a.k.a. the Dallas Cowboys, as we wish them well in the offseason. Say, listen, man, I'm shocked that anybody would be puzzled at Big Mac's hanging on to his challenge flag. When has that dude ever made a decision that benefited his football team? He had a death grip on that red flag like it was the last cheeseburger on the planet Earth. He saves his making bang-bang decisions for when he pulls up at the drive-thru window at McDonald's. Let's see. Do I want to order 4 Happy Meals or 5? Considering I just ate about an hour ago at the Cowboys facility. I wonder if he skips team meetings to get massages like he reportedly did in Green Bay. It's hilarious that Jarrah hired him and then declared he wanted McCarthy in his foxhole. Had Jarrah not seen McCarthy prior to hiring him? After all, the fast food surfing Big Mac did in Green Bay, he has to be flirting with 4 spins on the dial. For those two dudes to fit in the same foxhole, they would have to find a rock quarry for that dream to ever become a reality. But for Cowboy fans that seem disappointed and disgusted with their new coach down in the Big D, just imagine how Packer fans must feel, Jim. In 12 years in Green Bay, McCarthy managed to hold one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time to just 1 Super Bowl title. His next most newsworthy moment in Green Bay happened during his brief hiatus from coaching, when he was caught on video at his stepson's meaningless Division II basketball game, screaming at the refs like a maniac, then proceeding to follow them down the runway after the game. How frickin' embarrassing and baggish. Lastly, Jim, during holiday break, I received a massive, shiny, gold Jungle Rookie of the Year trophy with a classy congratulations card from the CBS Sports executives, so please thank them for me. It was extremely generous of them. I was humbled and honored, but I'd be lying if I said I was surprised. War Hawk starting a book club that one day rivals Oprah's book club, and War Ritt hiring Jeff in Richmond as his personal trainer. It's a dynasty, clones!
And again, he's never not been racked. Rack him again. That's one of the longest streaks, certainly to start a jungle career. I mean, he's been racked like 15 times in a row. I don't think he's ever not been racked. Every phone call that guy's ever made to the program, I believe, has been racked, unless Stucknut says otherwise. That's Chris in Southeastern Wisco. He already has an invite to the Smack Off in 2021. Let's keep moving. Let's go this time to New York. Mike, you made it in. Mike in New York. What's going on, Mike? How are you? Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air. Understandable.
Hi.
Oh, there you go.
Mike,
go ahead.
How you doing?
Good. You?
Good. Yeah, I was thinking about the Eagles yesterday. It reminds me of Rudy. So, in other words, all the players came into his office and he said, I want Sudfeld to dress for me. I mean, he had a pick between the Eagles. I'm sorry, the Giants or the Redskins. He picked the Redskins. I agree. I think Rivera went through a tough year. He deserves a shot at the playoffs. What do you think?
I think that you didn't think that was going to come to you, did you, Mike? That's what I think. That's what I think. Listen, you look at the Redskins and the Washington football team, I should say, not the Redskins. Got me doing it. The Washington football team, man, Ron Rivera is an amazing story, obviously. Alex Smith is an amazing story, obviously. You know, they had a really tough year off the field, and they had some real issues within their organization, as we know. I look at the NFC East, and, you know, who would you pull for in that division? You've got the Giants going on and on about, yeah, we'll look at Philadelphia. What the hell is going on here? Why is Sudfeld out there? As I mentioned, if I were a Giants player and I needed Philadelphia to win that game, yeah, I probably would be pissed, but I don't really have any argument per se because I'm a 6-10 football team. If you leave it to somebody else, inevitably that's going to happen because their agenda is not the same as yours. Their agenda was to get the best draft pick possible because they were not going to the postseason, and they fulfilled that. And now we're done.
Now I'm done.
Huge call brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. My thanks to Michael Lombardi, Pat Forty, Tremaine Edmonds, the new and improved XR4TI, except Alvy, he's the same. And you clones. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.